Welcome to the Something New Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible Miss Tina Greenbaum. Tina, why don't you take it from here?
All right. Thank you, Tanya. And welcome, everybody. And thank you, Tanya, for this opportunity to speak. I just joined the Speakers Association, so I'm very excited. So I'm something new to the association. But what I'm going to talk about may not be so new for people, but hopefully I'll give you a little bit of a new twist, a new way to look at things. So I speak about a subject called mastery under pressure. I'll tell you a little bit about myself first, and then talk a little bit and involve you. I know this is not a two-way street, but I'm going to ask you to participate with me in your own way and think about some answers that I pose some questions to. I am a psychotherapist by training. I've been doing this for over 33 years, and I've had many people come to me many times who have been in therapy for many years, and they know about their mother and their father and their sister and their brother and all kinds of family history. But when it comes to being in the moment about how to manage themselves and to deal with a situation in the present moment, they had no skill. Well, you know, it's good to have insight, but the skill is what we need at the moment. So I have a great interest in sports. I have three children that played sports, one very competitively up to the national level. And I got very interested in sports psychology. And I used to say, I don't know a lot about soccer, but I know a lot about psychology. And sports psychology and mental training and Eastern thought are all about the same thing. So I, over the years, have just followed all kinds of ways about how do I help somebody get to the level where they actually experience themselves differently. So in other words, when we get upset about something, when we get triggered, the body gets it before the mind gets it. So most of us in our culture come from a place where we talk a lot from our heads. I always like to say, I like to get below the neck, because below the neck in the body is where the information and the memory and the skill lies. So in my program, I talk a lot about skills, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit later, but the idea about being successful. Most of us, obviously, and particularly if you're on this call and you're listening, you're looking for ways to improve yourself. We want to be successful. We like to have accolades from a job well done. I guess most of us are not really happy with mediocrity. I know I'm not. Getting into perfectionism gets us into trouble. So how do we deal with the concept of being excellent under pressure and at the same time having the body calm? So I'll tell you a little story about how I sort of crystallized some of this work. I am a Toastmaster, and I belonged to a club in New York City that was very elegant. We met in the Bar Association of the New York Bar Association building in Manhattan. It was one of these buildings you walk in with the marble and the stairway. And the room where we did our Toastmasters meeting was one of those rooms with the portraits all over the wall and this big, long, dark table, wooden table. And so when you got up to speak, when somebody introduced you, you got up there with a feeling of confidence, or you wanted to have a feeling of confidence and elegance and standing tall. So this was about my third speech that I gave, and they introduced me and I got in front. Now, I had practiced that speech. You know, we're coming on right after Elizabeth, and I'm going to piggyback on some of the things that I know that she teaches. So I had practiced that speech. I had learned my beginning and my ending really, really, really well. And the middle I knew very well. Well, but the night before I was giving the speech, I didn't like my opening so well. So I changed it. Oof, that was a really big mistake, because I hadn't practiced it nearly as well as I had the other parts. So I got up there the next morning and ready, and I was introduced, and my mind went completely blank. I know that that is a speaker's greatest nightmare. Well, it happened to me. And at that time, I was in a learning experience, a learning environment. It was a very friendly audience. And I looked around and I just took a big gulp and I said, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to start all over again. Well, that was fine in that environment. But if you were paying me to do a keynote speech, I don't think that that would be so cool. So mastery under pressure. What do you do? What do you do in a situation? How do you prepare for it? How do you understand how the mind and the body go together so you can train both parts of you at the same time? You know that statement that says, that Nike statement that says, just do it? Well, what do you think is really involved in just doing it? If I had just done it at that Toastmaster speech, I would have fallen flat on my face. Okay. So there's a lot of things that happen in underneath and behind the scenes that just do it you have to know. You have to have courage. You have to practice. You have to do many things to get yourself composed and prepared to do your best. So I'm sitting here and I'm looking at a picture of Steph Curry. And those of you that are in the San Francisco Bay Area, you may know him as an awesome basketball player who won the MVP award two times in a year. And if you watch him, he's a three-point shooter. Now, he doesn't always make that 3 points, and yet he comes back over and over and over and over and over again. And what is underneath this title of looking at this picture, it says the best but driven to be better. Wouldn't you wonder, how does he manage that kind of pressure? So what I'd like you to do for a moment is just think about the challenges that you have in your life, both in and out of work. And what would it look like if you could just raise the bar? So I'm going to ask you some questions. You just fill in the blanks. What is the area where you say to yourself, oh, if only I could master this, blank, blank, blank. Or I wish I could be more confident in, and then you fill in the blank. Or I'd like to be better at, and fill in the blanks. So I have a client who is a very successful client. Now, she is really good. It's not like she's starting from scratch, and yet she was very interested in coming to me to be able to elevate her performance. I don't know about you as a leader, but many of us that are entrepreneurs or solo entrepreneurs, we like to be in charge. And when we have people underneath us, it's not the easiest thing to have the patience to delegate to other people. So she was looking for ways to be able to manage her stress in situations where she actually wanted to clobber somebody over the head. So I'll tell you a little bit about how I got into this. I told you a little bit about my story, but as a beginning therapist, my first job was working on an eating disorders unit in Washington, D.C. And I had a very traditional therapy background where we talked about the problems, the things about talk therapy. And what I realized very shortly after I was working with these women, they had given us a manual that said alcoholism, and then they crossed it out, and then they said eating disorders, and then they said, okay, now you go and you treat these women, some of them were just incredibly, incredibly ill. Well, again, I like to be successful. And I was sort of at my wit's end a little bit. And the first clue I got is I went to a yoga class. It was the first time I'd ever gone to yoga. This was many years ago. And I was just, in love with that posture, the Shavasana, the one where you just, the corpse pose at the end of the session where you lie down and you do this deep breathing. And I had never felt so relaxed in my entire life. And I said, wow, if only I could get those girls to do this. And at that time, they were girls. They were or young adolescents. Then maybe they wouldn't need their eating disorder. Well, that was the beginning of a tremendous, tremendous journey. How do I get to help somebody actually experience themselves differently again, when I go back, when the body gets it before the mind gets it. So over the last 33 years, I counted up, I spent over 20,000 hours watching people, listening to people, looking at how to be helpful. So part of optimal performance comes from practice and repetition, practice and repetition, practice and repetition. What we want to do, and I'm going to go back to that speech, what I did when I practiced that speech over and over and over again, I taught the right side of my brain, the part that holds the memory, the part that holds creativity. That's the part of my brain that I taught the speech to. Now, if you think about what happens to us many times when we're in a pressured situation, the left side of the brain takes over, okay? And the chatter goes in. Oh my God, how am I doing? I can't believe this. They're asking me questions I don't know the answer to. Or if I'm playing a sport, you know, I can't believe how I messed up. Or am I doing well enough? Or how is the person next to me? Or what are they thinking? And so on and so on and so on and so on. Well, when we operate from that side of our brain, what happens is we lose our ability to have a peak performance. We have taken up very valuable conscious space with stuff that doesn't take us to where we want to go. So a lot of my work and a lot of my training and what I do in my trainings when I work with people is I teach them how to quiet down that left side of the brain. So the right side of the brain, which you have practiced and repeated over and over and over again, it is in your subconscious and the training is in your body. That's the part that we want to learn how to trust. So it's a little bit complicated, but not so complicated. It's basically quieting down the left side of the brain so the right side of the brain can open up. So there's a couple of things that I look at in terms of being successful. And I want you to answer these questions when we think about, if you go back to those questions that I asked you in the beginning, what is it that you would like to get better at? So number one, do I have the knowledge? Or is it something that I'm lacking? Do I need more information? So many of us get caught up into not having the confidence to do what we really know. And we just say, oh, I need one more certificate and one more training and one more, couple more initials after my name. And then I'll know enough to be an expert. So is it a question of knowledge? Or number two, do you have a mentor? Okay. Do you have people that have been there before you? I'm always looking for teachers that have walked the path that I'm wanting to walk and that are further along the path so that they can look back and they say, oh, Tina, I know just where you are. Where I'm just like, really? You know where I am? I have no idea where I'm stepping next. So having a mentor, having a teacher, is also a wonderful, wonderful key to success. Another thing that I see as a great key to success is having a network of community, people that are of like minds, people that can support you, people that can, as Tanya is going to do after I do this talk, I'm going to go back to her and I say, well, what do you think? How did I do? A community of people that give you support. So when we look at our challenges, here's a couple other questions that I'm going to throw at you. One is, again, do I have enough knowledge? You know, one of the things that I do is I have a program that I teach with my husband. It's called Tennis to the Max. So I teach the sports psychology side of tennis, and he teaches the on-court side. And so when I met my husband about 5 years ago, he said, when he looked at my tennis game, he said, let's just start you out as a beginner. So I needed more knowledge to be a better tennis player. The second question is it a question of practice? Okay. So if I go back to my tennis game, I needed more knowledge and I definitely needed more practice. Is it something that I needed more of? And the third thing is the mental side, which is the side that is frequently left out in every bit of training that we do. If you think about you as a business professional, how much money have you spent in business coaching? And I suspect that if, you, again, you're on this call, you have invested in a coach or a mentor. But I'm going to ask, how much money have you invested in training yourself in the mental side of what it is that you do, how you manage yourself? So again, if I go back to my tennis game, my mental game is really good. People like to play with me. I'm very calm. I really get it. If I make a mistake, I need to move on. So go back to those challenges and ask yourself once again, is it a problem of knowledge? Do I need to know more? Do I need to practice more? Or do I need to up my mental game? Most people have had a peak experience in their lives, either in their work or in their sport or in their hobbies. But you know what? Few people know how they got there or how to repeat it. It's usually a hit or miss situation. And honestly, if people knew specifically how to create a peak performance for themselves, okay, they would be able to do things that in a way that they never dreamed were possible. So if I go back into my beginning as a speaker and having those kind of moments of lapse, how much more I have practiced, how much more knowledge I have. Believe me, I'm still not perfect in any way, shape, or form, but I've got a really good mental game, and I know where the problem lies when I want to improve. So ask yourself those questions. Where do I need to go in order to improve? Some of the other questions that I ask, and I have a mental skills assessment, which I'm going to offer you at the end of this talk. But some of the questions I ask is, do I know how to be laser focused? Do I know how to initiate the relaxation response in an instant? Do I know how to meditate? A lot of people say, I can't meditate. I can't sit still. They don't really understand that meditation is focused concentration. Okay, we're not supposed to be able to have a quiet mind right away. Okay, sometimes it takes years. I've been meditating for years. Sometimes I'll go there easily, and other days my mind is just all over the place. Okay, do I understand the concept of mindfulness and what that really means? Do I know how to turn negative thinking into what I call productive thinking? And do I know how to create powerful visualizations? So I've just been doing some research right before I got on this call and looking at the statistics around stress and employment and how many people suffer so tremendously. So I'm on a mission. I am on a mission to help as many people as I possibly can to become mentally healthy. Do you know that 1 million employees miss work each day due to workplace stress? And how much productivity is lost? $225.8 billion a year, with people not being able to manage their stress. There's more loss of work from stress-related disorders than chronic pain, than heart disease, than diabetes, chronic illnesses. So we have a kind of a calamity of a problem in this world. And if you want to learn how to become more mentally healthy, more mentally grounded, I say good mental health is not a natural sport. It's a learned sport. So wherever you are on that continuum, however many skills that you have, there is so much more to learn and to practice, and I want to be able to help you. So some of the things that I see, people have a pervasive feeling of anxiety. A lot of times they can't name it. They don't know what it is, and it just sits underneath the surface. And when this stuff is underneath the surface and we don't have access to it, it gets us rather than we get it. A lot of times people don't know what to focus on. They don't know how to focus. And they really don't know how to stop that endless stream of negative talk. So I want to invite you to what I have a program, and I have a formula, and it's got 6 steps to it. So this is an opportunity to raise your level of expertise and mastery. So in my program, I teach focus. I teach relaxation, meditation, and mindfulness. I help you to transform that negative self-talk into what I call productive thinking. I help you to cope with fear. Fear is one of those, again, one of those emotions that we understand the least and have the least ability to access and use it as our most powerful teacher. And then again, I teach you how to create powerful visualizations. So I'm going to leave you with three tips and then tell you just a little bit how you might be able to work with me further. Number one, when you're under stress, take a pause. Take a pause and gather yourself. The part of you that has practiced repeatedly becomes again available to you. It's sort of, it just arises and it's there for you. Number two, find your feet. When we're under stress, our energy is way above our head and it swirls. And that's when we lose our ability to concentrate and lose our ability to think clearly. So find your feet, okay, and become grounded. And again, that part of you that has practiced is going to become available again. And number three, when you take a deep breath, exhale longer than you inhale. That is how you're going to increase your relaxation. So I told you I was going to tell you a few ways that you can work with me. For those of you that are in the San Francisco Bay Area, I have a live workshop coming up this Saturday, October 1st, in Emeryville, California. And it's a three-hour training where I teach you about these areas in my system, as well as give you exercises that every great athlete and every great performer has right at their fingertips. It's $47, and I'll give you the website that you can sign up for that. I'm also giving you a beautiful organic lunch. If you're not in the area, I'm going to be offering this workshop again in early December. But if you're out of the area, I'm going to teach the same workshop in a two-hour online training. 2 hours is a long time to be on there one time. An hour one day and an hour another day. The same program that I teach in the live program. It's a great opportunity to get your feet wet and learning these skills. And lastly, because you are all part of this program, and I am on Tanya's show, and I love Tanya already, I'm available for a 30-minute complimentary session, the value of which, following Elizabeth's suggestion, the value is $175, and I'm offering this for free. And in 30 minutes, I can assess very quickly about where you are and lay out for you a program about where you might need to go. Perhaps my program is appropriate for you, perhaps it's not, I'm not sure. Because I then have a 3-month online training where we go deeply into each one of these areas. You can reach me at Tina, that's my name, T-I-N-A, at tinagreenbaum.com. That's Greenbaum is G-R-E-E-N, like the color green, V as in boy, A-U-M as in Mary, Tina at tinagreenbaum.com. You can click on there. And if you want to go see more about the Mastery Under Pressure program, you just click on that button because my new website is almost being launched, but it's not quite there yet. So you just click on the button that says Mastery Under Pressure and it'll take you there. And you can reach me, again, that's tinagreenbaum.com. That's the website. And to reach me by email, it's tina@tinagreenbaum.com. And thank you so much.